This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for tuning in. As we heard on yesterday's show, the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra is trying to raise $5 million in the next few weeks to continue operating. Symphony leaders say the cash infusion is needed to deal with immediate challenges, such as reducing its substantial deficit. But the MSO is not the only cultural institution facing questions about the future. From the Milwaukee County Zoo to the BMO Harris Bradley Center, many of the places on the city's cultural landscape are also seeing looming issues ahead. This morning, the Public Policy Forum has released a major report on the state of the area's arts, cultural, recreational, and entertainment institutions and finds their needs immense. Rob Henkin is president of the nonpartisan research organization. He's with us in the studio to talk more about the latest report. Welcome back to Lake Effect.
Well, thanks for having me, Mitch.
Give us some insight into the scope of this work you've done. It is a pretty ambitious, wide-ranging report. What's the key question you were setting out to answer?
You know, Mitch, there's been a lot of conversation in this community over the years, in particular about the county-owned arts and cultural institutions and the parks, and does the Milwaukee County government have the wherewithal to appropriately take care of those? The primary focus, again, of this report is that issue, but we wanted to expand it because the key question on the table for this community is, do we want to do anything new or different in terms of how we are going to take care of these assets and these organizations that inhabit these assets? And if that's the case, are we only talking about the county-owned institutions or the whole wide array of arts and cultural and entertainment institutions in the region? So in addition to looking at the county-owned, we looked at a half dozen of the major privately owned arts and cultural organizations, as well as the three major sports and convention facilities.
Well, and so starting with the county is the issue that you used to get into it. So what do you see as the headline in here? Is the state of the arts for county-owned and operated arts institutions any different than the privately owned institutions you looked at?
I think we do see some differences. I think without question, the operating challenges facing some of the county-owned institutions are more severe than on the privately owned side. That being said, I think a very interesting and key finding of our report, that if you had to make a choice between doing something to better support the capital side of the equation versus the operating side, you probably would want to go with the capital side even for the county-owned institutions. I think what we're seeing is that reliance on public sector support is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, assuming that it is relatively stable, it helps to offset those fluctuations in earned revenues and private contributions that can occur when the economy isn't doing well. But that's a big if. Oftentimes, when the economy isn't doing well, that's when government is most pinched, and that's where those funding streams are threatened. And so you don't want to be in a position where you're becoming too dependent on public dollars. On the capital improvement side, I think what we're seeing is that there's a lot of difficulty with the nuts and bolts maintenance and repairs. I think even though the public museum and the zoo and other entities are taking place in publicly owned buildings, there's been some success in terms of raising private dollars for big improvements. The welcoming center at the zoo is a perfect example of that. Some of the recent investments in the museum, other examples. Where it gets more difficult is trying to convince private donors to make up for the county's inability to take care of HVAC systems and roofs and facades.
Which are the sort of less sexy capital improvements. How did we get here? What has happened? Not too long ago, we talked about the state of the Milwaukee County budget, and the news was cautiously optimistic. But this seems to run counter to the county at large. What's happened to get us to this point?
I think there's two big factors that have taken several years to accumulate that have allowed us to now reach this very dire set of circumstances. Number one is that when you think back to how county government was created, the fundamental premise was that county government as an agent of state government is to provide certain mandated services. Public safety, health and human services are the ones that really rise to the top. The judiciary is another, for which there's going to be reimbursement from the state and federal government governments to do that. Over time, the county also decided to take on, with the approval of the state legislature, many discretionary services. And the main discretionary services are the parks, the cultural institutions, the transit system. Those services ostensibly were to be funded primarily with the local tax revenues, whereas the mandated services with the state and federal revenues. What we have seen over time, in part because those federal and state revenues have not increased with inflation, also in part because of expenditure pressures from the county benefits issues and so on, that the state and federal dollars have not been able to keep pace with the expenditure needs for the mandated projects. That, in turn, has caused more local property tax and sales tax to have to be dedicated to those functions, leaving fewer resources for the parks and cultural institutions. So that's number one. Number two is that the county made a decision to refinance the bulk of its long-term debt about 10 years ago, and in doing so realized that it could not continue to borrow at traditional rates. So the county has very prudently limited its annual borrowing to accommodate that, but it really has not kept pace with the needs of these aging buildings and structures and parkways, et cetera.
Is there a value judgment to be made here about these issues as a priority versus the other kinds of issues that the Public Policy Forum typically looks at, things like municipal budgets and education and transit?
Well, quite honestly, that's where we run into some trouble here, because what we can do is we can lay out the needs. We very pointedly do not want to make that value judgment. We can't tell taxpayers and policymakers whether the needs that we have identified for the arts and cultural and entertainment institutions exceed those facing schools and libraries and roads and transportation systems. What we can say, however, that if indeed it is a community priority to essentially keep what we have, then I think much as we view our transportation infrastructure, there's a need to look at major cyclical investments. And in this case, based on our assessment, clearly there's a lack of resources to take care of these facilities right now.
So if that's the state of things for the county-owned and operated arts institutions and cultural facilities, how does it relate to what private organizations are going through right now? For example, the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra is right now embarking on this campaign to raise $5 million. Is that emblematic of the state of things for private institutions?
I think that the symphony is certainly an outlier. The set of circumstances that has caused them to have to look at some major changes to their business model are somewhat unique, but really not unique in sort of their form, but unique in their scope and their size. Fundamentally, I think where the private organizations struggle is they are so dependent on earned revenue and private contributions that during times of downturn, they have to dip into reserves, they have to defer maintenance. Where their needs are greatest is in they could use some better endowments and reserves to be able to accommodate those swings in their revenue streams, to be able to take care of basic infrastructure needs. But they certainly aren't as lacking of the day-to-day resources that they need. And several of the ones we looked at are doing just fine. I think where there's a huge correlation here, however, is when you look at big capital improvements. Here's where the private sector organizations have been quite successful in raising money for some very big projects. The Milwaukee Youth Arts Center is one of the entities that we looked at. The problem is that as the county-owned institutions are growing more and more reliant on private dollars to take care of their major capital projects, they're competing with the other institutions. And so the question is there enough capacity in our philanthropic community to take care of these needs? And if not, what are we going to do about that?
In some ways, it seems like not that the solutions are any easier, but the economics of the private institutions are a lot easier to wrap one's head around than the major issues that the county-owned organizations are dealing with.
I think that's true. And I think each one has some very key private sector donors who have been very generous, who they can count on for big needs. It's the smaller needs. And it's, the year-to-year volatility and being able to maintain their program and their earned revenues in the face of that volatility.
Now, where private meets public is in the sports arena. There's been a lot of attention paid to the future of the BMO Harris Bradley Center. But are the issues with the Bradley Center emblematic of issues facing sports facilities and things like the Wisconsin Center at large?
Somewhat so, yes. So we by no means did a rigorous review of the Bradley Center and its physical needs, but we did review the Bradley Center's finances. And I think what struck us, Mitch, is that when you look at how the Bradley Center is going to try to scrape by over the next several years until a decision is made on a new arena and until the current lease with the Bucks expires in 2017, they now are looking much like our private and public arts and cultural organizations in that they are seeking public dollars. They they're seeking contributions from philanthropy and the business community, they're getting those. There was a big push by the chamber to provide the Bucks with some business contributions. There have been two $5 million state grants. There's an appropriation in this year's city budget. So the question is, can the Bradley Center continue, the BMO Harris Bradley Center, can it continue to exist under that type of model? The problem there is what happens if the Bucks do indeed leave. We cannot tell you whether if there is not a new or renovated arena that the Bucks indeed will leave when the lease expires. But what we can tell you is that if they do leave, they would take with them more than half of the annual earned revenue that that facility is enjoying, and the facility's expenditure needs would not go away. The deferred maintenance that they're facing is a big example.
You also looked at Miller Park and essentially in the ongoing way Miller Park has worked to retire its debt.
Yes, and it's clearly that's proceeding according to schedule. The latest numbers show that the sales tax may indeed be able to be retired by about 2018. One of the things that we found interesting is that there is also a need to take care of an annual contribution from the stadium district into a fund that ensures that going forward between 2018 and the early 2030s, when the lease with the Brewers expires, there is a source of funding to take care of regular maintenance even after the sales tax expires. So clearly there would be an opportunity potentially to do something else with that revenue stream. Again, whether that's what taxpayers and policymakers want to do is the big question on the table.
Are there success stories that you found as you looked into this, particular arts organizations or cultural organizations that have really done it right?
There are several. I mean, we have a very strong and vibrant community, and that's in large measure due to the generosity of philanthropy here in this city. We looked at the Ballet and the Milwaukee Rep, each of which struggled right around the time of the economic recession and even before. Beforehand, they did some restructuring. They found ways to boost earned revenues, and they're doing fine on an annual basis. I think, again, their issue is sort of the nagging long-term need to take care of their buildings that are growing older, and do they have the capacity to do that, particularly if we have another cyclical downturn?
Well, and one key issue that the report does not tackle is how each of these institutions might right the ship. Is that where this work is going?
I think that is where this work is going. And again, this is not the public policy forum saying we have to do anything at all. But what we will be looking at is if indeed this community does want to do something, how would you do something? And there are several different models from other places that we're going to be looking at. We are going to do some modeling ourselves. And our hope is to be able to inform this debate so that if indeed there's talk about a new or enhanced dedicated public funding source, that hopefully it's directed toward the right places so that it's actually effective.
Rob Henkin, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Rob Henkin is president of the Milwaukee-based Public Policy Forum. The group's new report is called Pulling Back the Curtain, Assessing the Needs of Major Arts, Cultural, Recreational, and Entertainment Assets in Milwaukee County. They'll present it to the MMAC's task force looking at the downtown arena issue later today. You'll find a link to the report from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. While the needs for existing sports and entertainment facilities are great, another unique sports facility is looking to get off the ground. We'll hear about it when Lake Effect returns on WUWM. ¶¶